everybody, and welcome to Good Luck High Five, episode 422.
That's right. You're listening to a podcast that's for you if you play Magic the Gathering, whether you're sitting at home jamming some arena, or you are eagerly refreshing the Daily MTG homepage for those sweet, sweet Strixhaven previews.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm one of your hosts, Maria.
I'm another one of your hosts, Megan.
And on today's show, we are going to talk about Strixhaven and the cool new stuff that we know about Magic's newest set.
That's right. I'll admit, it wasn't even on my radar would start learning about Strixhaven yet.
Me either. I mean, like, didn't we just finish Kaldheim previews?
Yes, Kaldheim is still brand new as far as I am concerned.
I know. This is like, oh, the train's on the track, moving only in one direction, and that direction is forward.
Forward and quite quickly.
Yeah, super cool stuff. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about the Arena Open that happened this past weekend and the VML.
That's right. You played in one and I played in the other.
Yes.
And we'll give you a little recap on what happened in each of those endeavors.
We've got the full breadth of Magic experience between the two of us, the yin and the yang here combining for everything that you need.
Plus, we're going to do a little bit of revisiting Kaldheim Draft.
Yeah.
We talked about it right when the format was fresh, what was good, what was not working, and now we have completely reassessed.
I'm going to be honest here. I feel like Kaldheim Draft just... I mean, there's a few universal truths, which I think we'll get to, but it shifts and moves from week to week almost.
It evolves faster than a Simic creature.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Pokemon, but you kept it Magic.
Yes, I did. On brand. You're a good luck high five.
Before we start the show, a big thank you to everybody who supports us over on patreon.com/glhfmagic. Thank you so, so, so much. You keep the show moving, coming out of your cat's mouth. We've learned about airwaves since the past episode.
Maria, illuminate me.
Okay, so like even though we say on the air, we really mean the air.
Oh,
it just is the air.
Wild.
So coming out of your cat's mouth, or you know, the air.
Dang. Well,
good
there
luck
you
high
go.
Five. Hitting your eardrums and making the sound.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, patrons.
Thank you so much, especially to Costas and Nathan,
yay,
who have become patrons since our last episode. Again, a million thank yous to each of you for helping this show happen.
Yeah, you get access to our cool Discord at Squirrel Level, which is $5 a month, a bunch of other awesome rewards, and most importantly of all, knowing that you support the content that you consume, which I think is amazing.
That's right. Thank you also to Card Kingdom, cardkingdom.com/GLHF, the best place to go. Once you know what's hot and standard, first, tweet at us.
Yeah,
second,
we need to know.
Go over to Card Kingdom and get those hot singles that you need to build it, because it will be the fastest shipping hands down.
Yeah, Card Kingdom is a great company to use for all of your magical needs. I know a lot of our listeners out there, it's important for you to buy, you know, kind of vote with your dollars, buy from companies that are really good.
Mm-hmm.
And Card Kingdom is definitely one of those. So we're so happy to support them and they support us. So why not fulfill the circle of
That's
life,
right,
if you will. Cardkingdom.com/GLHF.
We are just the air.
We are the air.
How about that?
We are the air. Pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
We're going to kick off the show with Strixhaven.
That's right. Wow.
Yeah, wow. You know, first of all, we weren't expecting this.
Yes. I mean, I cannot even tell you. Like, when you, Maria texted me and was like, oh, you're Silver Quill. And I was like, what is Maria talking about? And then I went over to Daily MTG and I was like, whoa.
I know. I saw like something pop up, I think on Instagram or whatever. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
This whole new Strixhaven info just dropped. In case you're unaware of what Strixhaven is, it's basically a play kind of on the Harry Potter universe, although Magic says they're doing it completely differently.
Yes.
And I mean, completely is, you know, a word
different
we can use, but it is different. And what they've released is information on the five colleges that are here in Strixhaven Part 1, I'm assuming, because we got to find the other five.
What?
Next time.
Oh, you think that there's five hidden colleges?
Yeah. Yeah, like five secret spooky college. I don't know.
I really hope that there's like a Strixhaven underground.
Or Strixhaven,
like
the American cousin. I don't know.
So yeah, we got an article laying it all out over on Daily MTG where we met each of the five colleges, or at least the five above board colleges.
Yeah, we're going to just say the other ones are underground colleges. Because where's Rakdos? I mean, those kids don't go to school, but you know what I mean?
Where's Ragdoll's cutting class?
Smoking in the bathroom, of course. But yeah, these colleges all seem super cool. Let's talk about the five of them.
Yes.
First up is Lorehold, and their motto is "Leave no stone unturned."
Yes, and so they describe Lorehold students as diligent researchers, daring adventurers, passionate scholars. They're obsessed with just like exploring the past.
Cool.
By, you know, summoning spirits. Yeah, being very disciplined
Man,
students.
I tell you, if summoning spirits was in history, it might have been my third major.
You would have been like, hey, I can get down with this.
All right, let's go. Let's go. That would have been the push I needed to actually take on a third one because I was very close. But yeah, if you summon spirits, like, I'm all in, obviously. Yeah. And they are red, white.
Yes. And Lorehold Command is the card that we got to see with this.
Cool.
Three red, white for an instant. Choose two. Create a 3/2 red and white spirit creature token. Creatures you control get +1/+0 and gain indestructible and haste until end of turn. Lorehold Command deals 3 damage to any target. Target player gains 3 life. And sacrifice a permanent, then draw 2 cards.
What more do you want?
At instant speed?
Literally.
Nothing.
This card does it all.
Yeah. Well, it does 2 of them.
It does 2 of all.
Yes. Pretty great options.
This card is like, I mean, they're all busted, yes. But like, this is like greatest hits of magic in red and white all on one card.
Like a little lightning helix action. Yeah. With like the deal 3, gain 3, +1/+0, indestructible and haste.
And then also drawing cards if you want to as well. I mean,
pretty
like,
good.
You can you make the spirit and then sacrifice it? No, they happen at the same time.
At the same time.
Dang it.
Yeah.
But yeah, Lorehold seems pretty cool.
Yeah. And I really like, so we talked a little bit on the upkeep when we were previewing these about Mark Rosewater saying they have a different feel and they play differently from the guilds.
Yeah, that's a great point. If you're like, oh, this is just, you know, Ravnica 3.0 or whatever, don't worry.
It doesn't seem like it. And I would say, like, right, these students being, like, diligent researchers is very different.
Yeah, it is.
From the Boros Legion being like, we're all about fighting.
We're fighting. We're an army. We Legion. Yeah.
Yeah. We Legion. We Legion.
You know that famous quote, we Legion.
Oh, yeah. An iconic. Yeah,
iconic
truly.
Film
quote.
Next up, we've got the Prismari, and their motto is express yourself with the elements, and they are blue, red.
That's right. Described as the theater kids of Strixhaven.
Immediately, you understand.
Yes. You're like, oh, okay.
I get it.
Their spells can be spectacles of raw creativity or meticulous artistic expression.
Oh, all the world's a stage, and whether their art is informed by mind or emotion, Prismari always leave a lasting impression. Very cool.
Prismari Command, 1 blue red for an instant. Choose 2. Prismari Command deals 2 damage to any target. Target player draws 2 cards, then discards 2 cards. Target player creates a treasure token and destroy target artifact.
Wow. 3 mana for this effect.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. I can't wait to deal 2 and then draw 2, discard 2.
Yeah, exactly.
That sounds like a sweet, sweet trifecta.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. If you follow me on Twitter, you know that I already tweeted out that I said, quote, where my Prismari's at. And I got some great response from people who were like, yeah, I'm here. But mostly people were saying, telling me they're Quandrix, which we'll get to in a second. But yeah, I'm definitely in the Prismari college because I literally was in real life. So like, can't deny it.
Great.
Quandrix is probably my favorite of these, though. I think it's so cool.
Like, I also love the illustration that went with this. Oh, like, it's really
great.
Cool art.
This person, I want to be their friend. Like,
yeah,
they're
exactly.
So cool.
I can't wait to see this card. Yeah. It'll be on a card. Quandrix, math is magic. They're ingenious math magicians that study patterns, fractals, and symmetries to command power over the fundamental forces of nature.
I love their description. Cool. They solve a Rubik's Cube while contemplating the metaphysical properties of the universe and recite every number of pi backwards. Which,
that's a lot.
I mean, that quote did create a tiny little mini firestorm on Twitter because, like, obviously magic players love math, you know, for the most part. Me an exception. But, like... They're like, you literally can't do that. Pi, it has no end.
It goes on forever.
It goes on forever.
So you can't find the end to go backwards from.
And the replies were like, I don't know what to tell you. It's a story. Like, it's not real.
Maybe.
They're wizards.
Exactly. Maybe on Strixhaven, Pi does have an end. Right?
Every mathematician is just their brain is on fire right now. But I think this is such a cool guild because yes. It's Simic. And so what a different kind of take on Simic here.
Yes, completely different.
And really cool to give these people an identity through college mm-hmm. in Magic, because Magic very smartly knows that these are the kind of people who play the game.
Yeah. Quandrix command, 1GB, instant. Again, choose two. Return target creature or planeswalker to its owner's hand. Counter target artifact or enchantment spell. Put 2/+1/+1 counters on target creature, or target player shuffles up to 3 target cards from their graveyard into their library.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder what's going to happen with the Quantrix guild. Like, is it going to be about like +1/+1 counters and like doing Could math be? With the cards kind of? I don't know. Stuff?
I don't know, Maria. We'll simply have to wait to find out.
Ooh, this next guild. Yes. I love this one as well.
Silver Quill, sharp style, sharper wit.
How can you not? Like, yeah. Great. Thumbs up. Silver Quills wield the magic of words, from inspiring battle poetry to biting arcane insults. Stylish, intimidating, and tirelessly competitive, these mages are born leaders with a razor sharp wit and natural charisma that can be used for good or for ill.
Wow.
Black, white.
Yeah. Of course they are. And I love, they're also, their art is the most that looks like the cool kids at school be like,
yeah, like,
hey punk, hey, you gonna join a crew, or you gonna scram?
They've got like sweet leather like dusters on.
Yes.
A+. Silver Quill command, 2WB for a sorcery at rare. Choose 2, of course. Target creature gets +3/+3 and gains flying until end of turn. You'll die to that. Return target creature card with converted mana cost. Oh, excuse me. Mana value.
What?
Did you not know about this, Megan? This is a change to what they're calling converted mana cost. Wow, you're watching Megan learn it right now. This is the face many people made after learning this fact.
Wow.
Yeah. They decided to change converted mana cost to mana value. How do you feel about it?
Weird.
I mean, I understand the reason for this change, because converted mana cost to a new Magic player, I have no idea what that means. Like, okay. What is that?
Okay.
Even though it is technically telling me.
Okay.
It's still hard to wrap your head around it. I don't know if mana value answers that question for me, though.
Yeah,
I don't think it's any... It's two words I understand it, more,
is it
but...
Clearer?
I don't think it's any clearer.
It is one fewer word.
It's one fewer word, and both words make more sense, ostensibly, than converted mana cost. But I feel like mana cost answers that question. That's what it is.
Who knows? Okay.
But I assume they put a bunch of research into this, and mana value is the new term.
Okay.
Of 2 or less mana value, 2 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. Target player draws a card and loses life. Target opponent sacrifices a creature.
Nice. A sorcery.
A sorcery. So, Megan, is this your college?
I read through all of them, and I think that it is.
Yeah, I think it has to be.
Right? Like, I'm here for the words, man.
You're here for the words. Tirelessly competitive, too.
I am also tirelessly. I'm wildly competitive. It's not always healthy.
Megan, are you good at biting arcane insults?
Yes. In there fact, you go. Arcane insults are the only kind that I can perform.
I think they did such a... great job with these colleges so far. Anyway, we got one more.
Witherbloom. Get your hands dirty. And we talked about this in the upkeep, but the description line is just my favorite thing. Witherblooms are goth bio majors.
It's just perfect.
Like, I wish that this is what I was.
I mean, Witherbloom, everybody wishes they were a Witherbloom, because they are legit the coolest kids, right?
They are. Obviously, they are. They draw power from the essence of living beings, whether that means enhancing nature or exploiting it.
Oh.
They're most at home riding zombie crops, picking herbs for potions, and hanging out in their swamp making grim jokes.
You gotta go down the swamp and make some grim jokes.
Maybe I am. I'm at least a little Witherbloom.
It's so cool.
Don't bother me. I'm gonna go ride my zombie crop. Find me in the swamp if you really want. But if you really want to say anything.
But are you gonna be making grim jokes?
I like grim jokes. Like arcane insults. Yeah. Grim jokes. Only kind I know.
Yeah. I mean, like, look, I don't want to be a Prismari, but I am.
You're just getting called out by your guests.
I'm so called out, for real. For real. Like, but here's the truth of the matter. I'm Prismari, but I likely don't hang out with very many Prismaris, which was also the case in college.
We have Witherbloom Command, which is black-green.
Yeah, this one is cheapest of all of them so far.
Yeah, sorcery. Choose two. Target player mills three cards. Then you return a land card from your graveyard to your hand. Destroy target non-creature, non-land permanent with mana value two or less. Target creature gets -3/-1 until end of turn. Is that right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Target opponent loses two life and you gain two life.
Okay.
Wild.
Yeah, I mean, just trying to think about this versus the Golgari, I guess it seems a little similar because of graveyard
stuff.
This
one feels like it overlaps the most of anything that we've read so far.
Yeah, for sure. But I'm super interested to find out because Mark Rosewater did say that these played differently. And yes. So how will they identify the green-black color pie if not, you know, mostly with the graveyard?
Yeah. Interesting.
Remains to be seen.
Yeah. We also know that there's going to be a mystical archive, which is alternate arts of cards from Magic's history, which, like the masterpieces back when they were a thing, doesn't affect their legality, but you can play them in limited. And this is super cool, but unlike the masterpieces, these have a dedicated spot in boosters.
I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The art, like, I love the frame on them. The frame is really gorgeous. The art is really gorgeous. We also know that the Japanese boosters are getting their own alternate arts for these, which is just jaw-dropping.
They are incredible.
It, like, literally, the one for Opt literally took my breath away.
Yeah, it's...
I've never actually had that experience until I looked at it, and I was like, oh, I lost my breath looking at this.
Yeah, I think if I were to ever be the person who played an Opt in a Magic deck, that I would go the extra mile to acquire this art. Because
that's a really big if, Maria.
Yeah, it truly is. I mean, I can imagine some kind of, like, fast auras based where you need to, like, no, I can't. Yeah. Anyway, but, like, I will be using that Opt. Like, there's no question. It's the most beautiful Magic card I've ever seen.
It's so gorgeous. This Demonic Tutor from the basic Mystical Archive, incredible. It looks like a stained glass piece.
It is, like, so gorgeous. And even the I don't know, English version of Opt is also really, really pretty, very cosmic.
So that's something really cool to look forward to. And I really like that, again, like we said, you're going to get one.
Yeah.
Collector's boosters have three.
I already want to open collector boosters all the time. Already when I'm at Target, I'm like, should I spend $25 on this boostie? And too often the answer
Target
is yes.
Of all places.
I know, because that's where randomly where you're standing and you see them and you're like,
They're getting you.
They're getting me.
Yeah. With your decision fatigue.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure.
It's right there at the end.
It's right there.
Wait for you.
Might as well. Just toilet paper. Get a collector boostie. That's how I got a Steam Vents, though, you know. So
pretty cool.
Yeah, I think these are, so far, this is a home run for me, for Strixhaven.
So gorgeous. And yeah, the set looks cool. I really like that it has such an opposite feel of Kaldheim.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Kaldheim is just, like, very metal.
Very metal, super serial.
Exactly. And then Strixhaven just feels, like, a little bit more playful.
Yeah, we're going to have fun again.
Exactly.
You know? Kind of more like Throne of Eldraine, if
we
you
know
will.
That we know that Will and Rowan are there. Yep. We didn't even talk about that, but there they are.
There they are.
Which it makes sense if you had looked at those Planeswalkers a couple of years ago and then said you from the future was like, these are from a school for mages.
I'd be like, oh,
that
duh.
Checks out.
And what about, you know, the one we saw and they didn't say where she was from with the red hair, the Planeswalker.
Oh, yeah.
What was her name? You know, she make you a wizard, you draw a card.
Yeah, exactly. Started with a K, right?
Kasmina?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't she even, like, an enigmatic mentor?
Yeah. She must be teacher.
I feel like she really could be.
So.
Although that's a lot of Planeswalkers from one place.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know.
Who knows?
Remains to be seen. When does this set come out?
Don't even know.
Can you find out?
Yeah,
because I really want to know. Because I want to know this timeline here, because we were so surprised by seeing these previews pop up already.
Strixhaven.
It was like, this is the greatest day. Like,
it really was.
Whoa.
Oh my gosh. It doesn't release until April 23rd.
Okay. So we've got a hot minute yet.
Yes. Wild though.
through March, we'll have previews.
Yes.
But super cool so far.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, let's get an update on our personal Magic lives here, the Arena Open and the VML.
That's right. Maria, did you play in the Arena Open this weekend?
Megan, I did nothing but play in the Arena Open this weekend.
How did it go?
I mean, I did not make day two, so we'll just put that out there first.
Fair
of all.
Enough.
Which the only one I've made day two was a historic one,
yeah.
Thinking back now. But I practiced for a long time leading up to this event. I streamed, Megan streamed the other day doing some sealed practice. I watched a bunch of streamers. I read a bunch of articles. Mm-hmm. I watched videos. I played a whole bunch of, like, when am I playing sealed after a pre-release?
I don't know.
Not, I mean, especially since there's not GPs anymore, yeah. Or whatever. Not hardly ever. But now this week leading up to this Arena Open, I was like, sealed. And I've got to tell you, I had the most fun playing Magic that I've had since I can remember.
Wow. That's a ringing endorsement if ever I've heard one.
Absolutely. And like, think about this. Like, I'm just going to be a little cynical here and say, how much money did I pay to do all of this?
I don't know.
Far, far too much is the answer. But you know what? It's a pandemic. What the heck else am I doing?
That's very true.
And also I'm preparing for a tournament. So yeah. It reminded me of like preparing for a GP or something like that, which was always so fun because it gives you a reason to put in all this time in this testing other than just having a good time playing Magic. I played, I don't even remember how many tries I had. It was a lot of tries in both best of three and best of one.
Yeah.
But I didn't make day two and I didn't particularly even care.
Wow.
Because I was having such a great time cracking these sealed pools, being like, oh, what's the best way I can put this puzzle together? I think actually my first deck was in fact my best one. And then I played in best of three and I only got to two wins, but it's pretty grueling when you can only take one loss. And I just had a fantastic time. I played some aggressive decks over in best of one. I played a whole bunch of different stuff and it was just a delight. Honestly. So please, Wizards, I'm sure you've heard this, but these Arena Opens are absolutely crackerjack, to use a word from 1922. And I think that you've just really done it here. And I want to see more of them, specifically Limited. And I've got to say, I tweeted this too, that I'm really sad that we didn't get to see Kaldheim showcased in a big competitive broadcast tournament, because I think more so than any limited format from the past couple of years, at least, that's not like a Masters format. The games are usually, and you can talk to this in draft too, they're usually completely wild.
They are. They are.
Like,
they are incredible. And
I'm
a lot
just
of
imagining
stuff
commentating on these and just being like, what a fantastic time viewers would have watching this and commentators would have talking about these games, because they're just like so swingy back and forth, cool, big, huge things are happening. How did you lose from that point, etc.
Yeah, it's a good format. It's fun.
And we're going to talk more about Kaldheim draft coming up later in the show, but I just wanted to put that out there. Like, I think this format in Limited is just like A+.
Yeah, it goes back and forth a lot.
And the Open was a fantastic time. I want to do more of it. Figure out how to do draft. Thank you.
Yeah.
The end.
I had a really good time. I played a couple of sealed, even though I didn't end up playing in the Open. And it was just a very good time.
Yeah, wasn't it?
There were times when I had just like a solid pool and it did really well. And then eventually you hit someone who has a busted, really busted coma pool and you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, coma.
Well, you know, why did they print that card? We've said that on the show.
Do you know what? That card is really absurd.
Yeah.
Okay, but actually, before we move on, Maria, I have to tell the viewers something, and it really hurts that I have to confront you about this here.
Me?
Yes.
What did I do?
You all, Maria never messages me back in Arena.
What?
I message Maria all the time, and Maria never messages me back.
Sometimes you don't message me back.
I always message you back, Maria.
Something's happening here.
What?
Because I definitely have messaged you a number of times and you don't reply.
What? I feel like I'm always messaging you and you never reply.
Oh my God. Have we uncovered a bug?
I don't know, because I swear every time that we're both on Arena, I message you and I'm just like, hi. And Maria says nothing.
Okay, because there's a chance that I might not see it because it doesn't like give you a noise or anything when it happens.
That's true.
So
it just glows.
That might happen. That might happen. I'm like allowing that might happen.
Yeah.
But what I've said is also true.
Wow. How could that happen? Because I feel like I am hyper aware of if it's glowing in the bottom and I check if people are chatting with me.
Oh.
Wow.
what's going on here?
I don't know. Is it a conspiracy?
I don't
or
know.
Or is Maria gaslighting?
Well, yeah, I mean, I could. It's one of two things. Either I just straight up don't see it, or it's not going through.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do a test next time.
Okay.
If I don't respond, then you can text me and be like, why,
why aren't you ever responding to me? Why are you not responding to me?
How dare you? And I'll be like, oh, and if I see it glowing, they'll be like, oh, yeah, I just ignore that part of my screen. Or it never came through.
Or it never came
and
through.
And then we'll know.
Space.
Wow, we uncovered an unsolved mystery on this episode of Good Luck High Five.
So tune in next week to hear the solution.
I'm Robert Stack. This is Unsolved Mysteries. Once I had a dummy and I recorded a version of Unsolved Mysteries with the dummy as the host of the show.
That's really spooky.
Is that the scariest thing
that's
I've
really
ever said
creepy.
To you?
That's
I was
really,
just
really
thinking
creepy.
About it. I was like, oh, that's horrifying that I did that.
Yeah, a dummy? Unsolved Mysteries?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I made lots of weird videos when I was little.
That's a really weird one, though. That's
I mean,
way up there.
Is it weirder than a propaganda video to get people to join my weird witch cult?
Yeah.
I promised them stickers. Did I deliver?
Oh, stickers are nice.
Yeah, you get stickers if you join.
That's a great join.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I should really
find that
footage.
We have stickers if you join our Patreon.
We have our own weird witch cult. It's called Good Luck High Five's Patreon. Check it out.
All right.
Megan, instead of playing the Arena Open, you played the VML.
That's right. Last week was my last match of the round robin in my division.
Great.
And if I had won it, I would have made the playoffs.
Ugh.
I did not win it.
Dang
I lost it.
It.
But you know what? I had a great time playing in the VML.
Yeah,
that's
you really did.
That's mostly what I would want to say about it.
Yeah.
Is like, there were some really fun weeks. Like, there were some really great matches of Magic. It was just a really nice time. I lost my match last week to Chantel Campbell.
Yeah.
Who just
had been running
roasted
through your, yeah.
me, roasted me with an aggro deck.
Oh, really? What kind of deck?
It was a mono red.
Yeah,
it was
mono red.
And it was mm-hmm. like, do you know what? And even Sunday when I submitted my deck, I was like, I feel like Chantel might just like show up and roast me with an aggro deck.
Yeah.
Maybe I should adjust my deck list. But then I was already in bed, so I didn't. And then
Tale
I got roasted
time.
By an aggro deck.
Well, I think mono red is kind of creeping up there in standard now. Because I
yeah.
saw somebody post a deck list today that was like, by the way, this is a 75% win rate against mono red. And I was like, why would you call that out unless
it's doing quite well?
It's everywhere.
And it was like, I say roasted. To be fair, it was a really good match. We had three games.
Sometimes things that are roasted are really good.
Exactly.
Potatoes, for example.
Yeah, corn.
Chicken.
Anyways, so she won the first one. I won the second one. And then the third one was like really close. There was an Ox of Agonis and everything. Oh.
Cool.
It was such a good time. So I highly recommend it. If you are a person of a marginalized gender, the next time that the VML comes around, I would definitely recommend entering it. I had such a good time.
Yeah, and you can watch coverage on Fridays
yes.
over at twitch.tv/aspirantccg.
Right. The playoffs are now happening, so head on over there on Fridays and check out those playoffs.
We got to ask, though, is Caroline still in this?
Do you know what? Hold on, let me check.
Because, you know, she did say, come take my crown. We interviewed
yeah.
Caroline on the show a few weeks back when she won the third iteration of the VML.
Yes.
And in fact, what she also won the first one or
yeah,
something like that?
Yeah, she also won.
So she was like, come take my crown. I've won it twice. We've got to find out if her crown is still in contention or if the crown is now on the floor ready to be picked up by new hands.
The crown must be picked up by new hands.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay. All right, Caroline. Someone's coming for your crown, you said.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
The moment is upon us.
That's right. Time to revisit some Kaldheim Draft.
So when we first talked about Kaldheim Draft, it was
very fresh.
Very new. It was maybe yeah. the set had been out for a week
mm-hmm.
or something like that.
Although I will say, I think one of our top takeaways is still very true,
oh, yeah.
which is that Snow is excellent.
Snow is great. Everybody knows
Tops.
It. The only difference is that everybody knows it.
Now everybody knows it. So you got to do some other stuff sometimes.
Yeah, because Snow is going to be highly drafted at your table unless something very strange is going on.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're playing a quick draft, in which case you're drafting with robots.
And they don't know what's going on.
They don't know what's what. And they might not take it. So, yeah, Snow remains
yeah.
Tops.
I will say, though, that the other takeaway that I have that I have noticed recently is that aggro is way more highly competitive than it has been in previous draft formats for
Absolutely.
A while.
Absolutely. And aggro was kind of flying under the radar early on because people didn't know about snow. And because of that, people's snow decks were absolutely busted.
Yes.
And a busted snow deck, you know, an aggro is going to have a tough time against that if it's got all of the tools that it needs.
Yeah.
And so aggro was just not really drafted. It wasn't really doing well.
But now it's a real thing.
Yeah. Now
you can far just, more open. You can just get run over early.
Totally. Absolutely. And you're seeing this even in the Arena Open. People were like, haha, I know what I'm going to do. People are going to build their five color snow piles and I'm just going to zoom right in over them. Of course, you had to have a good aggro deck in order to do that. And getting a good aggro deck in Sealed is not very easy. But the people that were able to do it. And here we see the same kind of effect happening in draft.
Absolutely. But let's talk about some specific cards that maybe flew under the radar the first time.
Yeah.
The first one is huge. I can't believe that I missed how busted this, like, my, I don't know that I can think of a different of a card that has had such a drastic difference between my initial perception of it and its actual value.
I mean, I've got to say, I don't know how you could have correctly predicted this.
Runed Crown. This is the 3-mana artifact equipment that lets you go get a rune from your library, from your hand, or from your graveyard.
From underneath the toilet.
Yeah. And just attach it to it. You don't pay for the, like, you don't pay the cost on the rune.
Nope.
It can have already gone to your graveyard because you attached it to something early because you didn't draw your Runed Crown.
Yep.
It can just, it's wild. What?
So it comes in, attaches.
You draw a card.
You draw a card for sure. And then your Rune Crown stays around. If you kill the creature wearing the Rune Crown, doesn't care. Put on something else.
Exactly. The rune is still on it. So it's also still doing its thing.
It's still got Death Touch. It's still got flying. Whatever you want, the Rune Crown's got it.
Creature also gets +1/+1. Like, this is, when I rephrased it this way in my head, I could not believe it. Rune Crown draws you two cards. It's a 3-mana draw two. Because you draw the rune, and then the rune draws you a card.
You're right. When you put it like that, it seems super busted.
It's so
busted. Oh my gosh.
And, like, obviously the only downside is once you take it, you have to get a rune in your colors, and they are uncommon, but, like, just take this.
You'll probably get a rune.
Exactly. And speculate on getting a rune. It's worth it. Good, that is worth doing it.
Yeah, Rune Crown, 100%. I think the highest mover and shaker, probably from anybody's. I mean, I don't know what Limited Resources gave it.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine they rated it, you know, as highly as it is now.
Excellent.
Rune Crown, A+.
Wild.
This card's a bomb.
Yes.
Literally, it's a bomb.
So good. So good.
And I want to mention another artifact, which we talked about early on as being something you would want in a boast deck, which was Raven's Wings.
Yeah.
And that remains true. And I want to just go on record again saying, if you're drafting an aggro deck, which is much better now than it was then when we even talked about it, that you've probably got to have one, if not two.
At least. Yep.
Because you got to get in for that damage, and flying, very good in this format.
Yes, so flying is excellent.
Yeah.
The next card is, when someone passes me this in the first pack, I cannot believe it.
Yeah.
Svela the Ice Shaper.
I love this card.
Just Svela Ice Shaper, but it is absurd. If you do not kill it, this card wins the game.
It's the 2/4 for one red green that you can pay 3 and tap it and make, by the way, an artifact that stays around forever.
I didn't know that the first time that I made one. And then I was like, wait, it makes an icy manolith, which you just tap to add a snow mana of any color.
And then it just uses that mana to activate itself later on for 8 to go and look at how many of the top 4?
The top 4 cards of your library.
And just put it.
And cast a spell.
Put 10 Bs.
It's so good.
Yeah, and it's not even a creature, which is not something else I thought originally, that you had to go put a creature. No.
It's any spell from the top 4 cards.
Oh, my Feed the Serpent. Okay.
Yes.
For it free. It's kind of.
It's so good.
Yes, Fella does literally everything that you want in this 4-color snow deck.
I have lost to this card, being unable to answer it, and I have many more times just straight up won off the back of this card.
Yeah, basically, when I play it, I'm like, oh, they're going to kill it.
They have to.
Because they have to.
And even if they kill it, if you got it to stick around for one turn and just made one icy manolith,
yeah,
like you got value out of this thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, that card is just don't pass it.
Don't
early.
Pass your spell is they're amazing.
Do you know what? I've had multiple drafts now.
Splashable.
Where I got two of them. And then I counted that, like, having two of them as fixing for a color I was splashing.
For sure. You count it as at least partial fixing.
Exactly. If I only had one copy, I probably wouldn't count it as a full source. But between two copies, I'm like, yeah, sure. That's my blue. Like, that's a blue source.
That's a blue source. Why not? Yeah, I love Svella.
So good.
Yeah. A plus.
This next recommendation, Ghost was talking about how good stuff like Rune Crown and Raven's Wings are.
Yep.
Invoke the Divine, Broken Wings, and Masked Vandal.
Yeah, the best of these three is Masked Vandal, which is a little 1/3 that if you exile a creature card from your graveyard when you play it, you get to destroy an enchantment, so a saga.
Or an artifact. Just very good. Invoke the Divine is destroy target artifact or enchantment. You gain four life. And Broken Wings is artifact, enchantment, or creature with flying.
Yeah.
If you are in these colors, you want the effect.
Play
main deck one.
Absolutely. I'd main deck main like deck, three Mass
exactly.
Vandals.
Honestly, main deck more than one sometimes.
Yeah. The Mass Vandal, I think you can have upwards of whatever you want. Yeah. And you...
There's
you're
just some really
it.
Good stuff. There's really great. There's so many times when my opponent has played Waking the Trolls.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, you destroyed a land of mine and that's all you did.
Good job with your 5-6 mana. Exactly. I can't remember how much this card costs.
Yeah, like 6 mana, destroy a land at the Ooh, end and you're like, great.
Rough.
You know.
And I've got a body back to block now too or whatever, that 1/3. Put a rune crown on.
put a rune crown on it. Next up, I have Dread Rider.
Tell me about this card.
This is 5 and a black for a 3/7 Spirit Knight. 1 and a black tap. Exile a creature card from your graveyard. Target opponent loses 3 life.
It is the only card in the set that I shouldn't say only card, but is it that survives a squash?
Oh, yeah. I think it might be.
The only other one is Cyclone Summoner.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And the Icebreaker Kraken, which, you know, is that a real card? I don't know. I think that's it.
Like 7 toughness is just huge. It's also, you think about it not profitably, but just blocking things like Ravenous Lindworm.
Yeah.
It just blocks it.
You can block it.
And it's one of the few ways I've found in games that go really long, you've traded a lot of resources with your opponent.
Yep.
And then you land this thing and it's like, okay, you've got some guarantee that you're going to be able to win the game.
Yeah.
There's so many times when it's come down to something like this where it can just keep blocking and then keep activating and you're going to be able to win the game off the back of it.
Crush the weak. I love this inclusion because aggro, like you said, is running around out there.
If you're not aggro, you need to be playing an effect like Crush the Weak if you can do it.
It's got Foretell on it as well, so you can cast it for a single red to deal 2 damage to everything.
Yes, it deals 2 damage to each creature, and then it also exiles them instead of them dying, which is, you know, there's like the Beskar Shieldmate and stuff like that, which it's very relevant for. It's just, again, if you're in red and you're not aggro, play Crush the Weak.
I got by this the other day.
Just main deck it again, because... you will run into enough aggro decks to make it worth your while.
Do you know who I was playing when somebody cast this against me?
Who?
The one member of the Hall of Fame I run into on Arena more than any other, Mr. Yelgar Vigershma.
Oh my goodness.
And he's like, hi, when I played it. And I was like, God dang it. I don't want to play you. You beat me every time. And sure enough, I was like, so proud of my little aggro deck that could. And he's like, Crush the Weak.
Yep.
Main deck.
That's
best
what I'm
of
saying.
Three.
Main deck it.
Yep.
Main deck this card.
On the flip side, if you are aggressive, Tormentor's Helm would like a word.
One mana to equip, and the creature gets +1/+1.
Dumb.
Like, just good. It's
and then
just
if
good.
You're like, well, I've got to block it, it's still going to ding you for 1 damage.
Exactly. Again, it's kind of like Dread Rider. It's got like that bit of reach on it.
Yeah.
To just keep pinging away. Yeah.
Overall, equipment in this set, better than in most sets.
Yes,
for
absolutely.
Sure.
I think part of why it was so weird to have stuff like Ruined Crown or Tormentor's Helm, the reason why they weren't initially there
is because
you're
like,
because
oh,
you never
equipment.
Think about equipment being that good.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Speaking of equipment, let's talk about Elven Bow.
Ooh.
Don't sleep on this card.
No. This whole cycle, I like.
Yeah, it's very good.
These are the equipments that you can hay when they come on into play, and you get a little creature to attach it to.
Yeah, and in case of Giant's Amulet, you get a big creature to attach to. Yeah,
exactly.
And it's hexproof.
Big boy.
Big boy. Yeah, they're all good. All of them. Draugr's Helm in black.
Great. Valkyrie Sword.
Valkyrie Sword in white. Yeah, yeah. Probably the worst because it's white, but.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, and white.
I mean, it makes you an angel, which is its upside. Yeah. The sword itself is like, meh.
Yeah.
But yeah, all of them. In green, I'm almost always playing an elven bonus.
Absolutely.
Quite good.
Gotta take it.
Yeah. Finn the Fangbearer.
Love Finn.
This card, at first you're just like, it's a 1/3 death touch for 2, whatever. It has like the little poison, you know, annotation. But it makes it so you have to deal with this card.
You have to kill it at some point.
I've made some trades with this card that I did not want to make.
Yeah. Finn is a card that must be dealt with, and handy little death toucher as well.
Yes, exactly.
For 2 mana.
Green is always happy to have like that early death touch so that it can survive into its late game. And Finn is just really... really up there.
Yeah, 3 toughness versus aggro, very good as well.
Mm-hmm.
This green card we did talk about on our first show, but we want to give you a little update even and talk about, like, is it even better than we thought, which is Packmate.
Yeah, Sorrel's Packmate. Is it the best common? Is it better than Demon Bolt?
Yeah, that's the question people are asking right now.
I don't know.
Is it better than Demon Bolt? Is it better than Behold the Multiverse?
Yeah.
And
I think it's better than Behold the Multiverse, which I hate to say.
A green 3/3. But here's the thing. All right, versus Demon Bolt. Demon Bolt wins in the arena, of course. Kills it.
Yes.
But I have played a 3/3 body that you've had to use your Demon Bolt on, and I've drawn a card.
Yeah.
I think it might be better than Demon Bolt.
Wow. Wow.
It's a spicy take, I know. But it's also
very spicy.
It's also in green, which is the color you want to be if you're playing snow.
Yeah. It's true.
I don't know.
I don't know. It is very good.
Just throwing it out there.
It is very good.
Every Packmate. Like we said, a deck full of Packmates playing it.
Yep. Next up is Rootless You. This is 3 green green for a 5/4. When it dies, search your library for a creature card with power or toughness 6 or greater. Reveal it, put it into your hand, then shuffle your library. This card is so good because it's so big, so it can deal a lot of damage. It trades with anything, and then it goes and gets a bigger thing.
Yeah, this card I wrote, Beware the You.
It's...
which is not only an introspective comment about yourself and yourself in your life, but also you have to trade with it, okay? Because you're probably not going to be able to block it.
No.
You're going to sit there and feel terrible.
Yep.
Because you know that even when it dies, it's killed your creature or it's self-damaged, whatever.
Like, you're probably not winning the game with it on the battlefield.
No.
But the problem is, if it leaves the battlefield, you're also probably not losing the game.
Because they're going to go get their ravenous Lindworm.
They're going to gain 4 life. They're going to put a 6/6 into play.
Yeah, by the way, Ravenous Lindworm, also love that card.
Yes.
But yeah, they're just gonna put their 6/6 in. Twice somebody has put in Vorinclex with this on me.
Wow.
So
that's a real bummer.
I quite frankly am quite afraid of Ravenous.
Yes.
After having that experience twice.
Ugh, what a card. That
card's really good.
What a card.
I put in Path Through Willow Tree because I don't think we mentioned this, but this card, you should take it very early if you want to be drafting a multicolor deck or snow deck. Activating this is just the greatest feeling.
Oh, it's so good.
It's a cruel ultimatum or whatever people are calling it. So like,
so good.
Just it take it.
So good. Snakeskin Veil.
Yeah. I want to talk about this card. We're talking about a lot of green because green is, you know, the best color in the set. I think people would say, and Snakeskin Veil is one. That I am surprised. I don't know if surprised is the right word, but surprised on how much it swings games. Let's put it that way.
It's so good.
You go to kill the creature. They play Snakeskin Veil. They put a +1/+1 counter on it, and it's hexproof, so you haven't killed it. Are you winning
it's
that
bigger.
Game? Are you winning that game now?
No, it's bigger. You already wanted to kill it. Obviously, you were targeting it.
I don't think you're winning that game now.
Yeah,
I think you are now behind with 1 mana.
Yeah, it's so absurd.
Obviously, you've got to have something that you want to play and whatever, but it's so cheap.
I've gotten wrecked by this.
Absolutely.
I've wrecked people with this.
And then you're sitting there, you're like, oh, do they have Snakeskin Veil?
Yes. That's the worst feeling. And then they do.
And then, of course, they do.
And then they do.
Yeah.
The answer is that yes.
Yes,
they have Snakeskin Veil. And last up, I have Goldvein Pick.
Yeah, Goldvein Pick has recently risen in a lot of people's estimation thanks to Deathsea being very, very high on the Goldvein Pick train.
Yeah, it's just like it's colorless, so you can play it in anything. And I think kind of we're noticing a theme with these equipments, which is that I think that part of it is that so many creatures in the set are about the same size.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's like kind of in that like 2-3, 3-2 range.
Yep.
And if you put a 1-1, +1, +1 equipment on something, all of a sudden you're winning a lot of combats that you would otherwise be losing.
Yeah, because we've talked about it on the show that the magic number is 4 in call time, which means if you have 4 power or 4 toughness, you can block a lot of things in this format or attack profitably.
And this, exactly. Goldvein Pick just goes with stuff like Tormentor's Helm where it does it.
Just does it for you.
Exactly. Like the whole treasure thing is just kind of like a weird bonus.
Yep.
What you're really going for is just like, putting your creature over the top of theirs.
And then you have listed uncommon lands.
Oh, that's right. Oh, I love.
Do you mean the splans?
Splans?
The spell lands.
Yes, the spell lands.
The splans.
That is the ones. Those are the ones that I'm talking about. These are the ones that like there's the red blue one that deals two to everything. There's the white blue one that
draws two, gain two.
Blue black, which mills and then puts a creature into play.
The red-blue one just wipes the board?
Yes. It's like all of them, like the red-green one destroys a land and makes a troll. I think that there is, Call Time is definitely a set that reminds me every once in a while a little bit of Kaladesh.
Yep.
Because if you flood, you're in trouble.
Yes.
You are in huge trouble. Absolutely.
And this is exactly why Behold the Multiverse is so good in this format. Yeah. Because you get yourself out of situation. Let's put it this way. Mana is extremely important.
Yeah.
If you're not hitting your land drops, you're going to lose.
Yes. But also, if you hit too many land drops,
you're going to lose.
You're going to lose. And these are perfect because most of them, like the white-red one that gets an equipment is not quite there.
It's just too expensive.
Exactly. And I also don't love the black-white one that makes an angel because you have to sack a creature.
Yeah.
I'm a little iffy on that. But like the rest of them are just good. They
really have good.
Powerful effects.
Yes.
And they're going to help you if you got to that place where you flooded out and you're like, oh, no.
I have nothing to do.
At least you have a land that's actually a spell.
Exactly.
So good.
So not a love for white in this review, but we would be remiss not to call out Shepherd of the Cosmos. Oh, yeah.
That card is
which
very good.
A lot of people pick very, very highly because of its effect of getting a creature with mana value two or less back from the graveyard to the battlefield.
Yeah.
And it has Foretell. This card is really, really good, and you should be picking it. I don't know what kind of deck you're making with it because white is a tough color to build with, but it's excellent.
It absolutely is.
And finally, just a quick note that you need to be playing all the Glimpse of Cosmos set you draft because you've got a shapeshifter in there somewhere.
Yeah, you do. You've always got a shapeshifter. You're in blue.
You're in blue. Come on.
How do you not have a shapeshifter?
And finally, I wanted to say this. If you haven't drafted this set yet, I encourage you to give it a try.
Yeah.
It is a really good time. And there are so many fun things to do in it. Snow is one of them, but there are lots and lots of different things you can do. And it evolves week to week. So who knows
what's going to happen next?
We're going to say thank you now to another one of our sponsors of the show, Ultra Pro. And I wanted to show off this week their Elka Vault.
That's right.
Have you ever been asked to a game of Commander and then you thought, which deck should I bring? But the answer is clearly both of them.
Both of them. Both of them.
Or you've got a friend that doesn't necessarily play or whatever. Elka Vault has space for two decks.
Yeah.
100 sleeve cards.
100 double sleeve cards.
And a middle compartment where you can put dice and extra sleeves and tokens, whatever.
Yes.
It all fits in this right here.
Oh, and I love their magnets snapping into place.
So satisfying.
So satisfying. I love that they have the thing right when it opens up. It has like the slot so you can pull the deck out easily.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which we've talked about before. It is hard to manipulate 100 cards.
Yeah, you can see how that works. You can just
grab them. So nice and easy. Really, really great, well-designed stuff from Ultra Pro.
This bad boy can fit so many magic decks. Well, everybody, that's this episode of Good Luck High Five.
That's right. I wanted to tease a video that we've got coming, which we've got a box of Call Time here from our sponsor, Card Kingdom. Huge thank you to them.
Yes.
And we are not just going to crack these boosters. As you all know, we like to do some bits.
Yeah.
we are going to crack these boosters inside an igloo.
I mean, it's so appropriate for call time.
Exactly. We figured it's a snow set. It's cold. We're in Minnesota.
Yeah.
We've got to have access to some cold stuff.
So, sure enough.
So you can tune in on our YouTube channel someday soon and find us in an igloo. Opening call a time. Box of cold
You know what?
Time.
Taking shots of eggnog wasn't enough to destroy ourselves. No. We will sit out in the Minnesotan cold inside an igloo for
That's
you.
That's right.
Opening call time packs.
Oh, man. Gonna have to wear some thick socks.
Layers, everyone.
Long
layers.
Underwear time.
So, yeah, thank you to Card Kingdom for being one of our sponsors along with Alter Pro. And thank you so much to everybody who supports us on patreon.com/glhfmagic. Become a member before next episode. We'll read your name on the show.
That's right.
And give you some love for supporting us. Thank you, everyone who's maintaining their support through these tough times. It's been incredible to have you all there. The wind at our sails as we cruise through this thing we call life.
Tweet at us and let us know which of the Strixhaven schools you are. That's at GLHFmagic over on Twitter.
Yeah. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to us and hanging out with us yet again. We'll be back next week with more awesome magic content that, you know, is coming to you as the air.
We are the air.
We are the air.